Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my hands of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hey, hello, neighbors. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. That's right. It is the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor on the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel, but still live and only found in podcast form on the Dynasty Happy Hour family of podcasts. You got to go over to that podcast channel and subscribe. It is your boy. It is Memphis at DWZ Memphis. And I've got my special guest with me here on the show. His name is Ryan. You can follow him on Twitter at Dynasty Legs, and Legs ends with a Z as opposed to an S. I'm going to bring him on in just a second and we're going to go over his roster. So that's what I'm doing. I'm taking the rest of the month of January and I'm going to get some follow-up episodes going. I wanted to do that in season, but I had so much going on with the DWZ that I just didn't quite have time to do it in season. So we're going to do a couple of these now, and then starting the week after the Super Bowl, I am going to start with new contractors, rebuilding new rosters. So we're going to have more content for you here on the DHH. I'm super excited to have you. And just to let you know where I've been working on stuff over at the Dynasty Warzone. We have since added two gambling shows. We're going to add a DFS show. Basically, in the 2021 season, we're going to have a show 7 days a week, including a live YouTube stream show on Sunday mornings. But I don't want to keep this intro too long because, again, it's impolite to keep company waiting. I will wrap up some of the more of my promoting at the end. But again, my guest tonight's name is Ryan. Now, Ryan, you were with me once before on The Contractor. Ryan, first of all, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yep, I'm very excited. And we're going to have a new feature. So I've been working. If you're watching live on YouTube, you will notice my banner in the background. It's really sweet. Those graphics were created for me by my man, Matty Big Chest. But it's just not long enough. You can see the old map that I had hidden behind it on the wall. Well, I've got a new one coming, but I've also got some other new technology. Here in just a second, I'm going to share my other screen, and we're going to be able to take a look at Ryan's roster from where it was to where it is. And in case you didn't know, that was my computer telling you that I don't have any viruses, which is pretty rad. So I don't want any viruses. So we're going to jump into Ryan's roster here in just a couple of minutes. But Ryan, tell us a little bit about your 2020 season. Did you dodge the Rona? How did 2020 treat you from both a personal and a dynasty standpoint?
Well, yeah, I have not gotten the Rona, so that's a good thing. My dad had it, but he fared pretty well. He was the closest person to me to get it. So, and as far as fantasy, I mean, league dependent. I definitely had some leagues where it killed me, and in this particular league, it did not. I dodged most of the bullets and won the championship, which is probably why I'm back. So.
Well, no, you're back because you reached out for me and said, hey, thank you for helping me with my roster. We wound up turning in a championship effort. And I thought, well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for reaching out. That's all that I want. And I don't even care about that. I really If any of you have ever listened to the Dynasty Warzone, I sign off with every show that we're just here to make the world a better place for fantasy football. And that's what I'm about, trying to help people build better rosters, not only in Dynasty, you know, sometimes in redraft, we're going to have some of that going on in 2021. But I want to talk about the roster that you had. Now, I'm looking at the originals, and you had a quarterback group of Josh Allen, Ryan Fitzmagic, and Tua. I want to make sure I get those two combined together. Gardner Minshew and Aaron Rodgers. Now, I think at the time we probably talked about moving Aaron Rodgers. What does your quarterback room look like? And while you're doing that, I'm going to pull up some pictures for the viewing audience.
Sure. Well, yeah, actually last time we talked about moving Minshew, which ended up happening not for quite some time after that. It took a few games, his value went up, and then I ended up moving him. So I still have the both Dolphins quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, which certainly was probably my strength of my roster, those two quarterbacks being at Superflex. That was certainly helpful. And I had actually just acquired Aaron Rodgers in a trade right before, maybe a week before we had our show. And it was kind of crazy because at the time I had talked about how I got Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones in that trade and Michael Thomas. And I had talked about how the two Packer players weren't really guys I was targeting. I wasn't that high on Rodgers, which obviously I was wrong about that. And of course, Michael Thomas was the most valuable player in that trade, and he barely hit my lineup this year. But getting Rodgers and Aaron Jones in that trade certainly helped me win it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he finished the season through week 16, which is most of your league's fantasy championship. I mean, having the QB1 and probably the QB3 or 4 and Aaron Rodgers is going to go a real long way in a super flex. So that's what your QB. So this is the picture on my screen. If you're watching live on YouTube, you are able to see the picture of his roster. You can see his quarterback if you're following along. There's everybody. Is this your same quarterback grouping right now? I can pull that up real quick while you cover it.
Everyone but Minshew. I did trade Minshew.
What did you end up getting out of the mustache?
Well, that was the only really big trade I made. Before when we were on, tight end was kind of my weakness, and I tried all offseason to get Zach Ertz, which thankfully didn't work out. But I was kind of struggling at tight end. I had Irv. I had Dalton Schultz, who was working out fairly well, but then the week Dak got hurt, I traded Jonathan Taylor, which I didn't really want to give him up, but Jonathan Taylor, Gardner Minshew in my second, and I got Elvin Kamara and Jonnu Smith. And I was hoping Jonnu was going to solve my tight end problem, which he really didn't, because at the time of the trade, I was undefeated, leading the league in points, and the very next week was my first loss because Jonnu put up a donut. But I did start Jonnu. I kind of flip-flopped around Jonnu, Irv, and Schultz throughout the whole year, so I won't say he didn't help me, but I'm pretty happy I got something for Minshew because his value certainly has plummeted since the time of the trade.
Yeah, and here's the thing. With hindsight being 2020, we're going to have a lot of naysayers say, man, you should have kept Jonathan Taylor. And that's true in a vacuum. But what's the value of a championship? Let me ask you a question without putting out how much. Is this an actual four money league? Do you guys pay an entry fee? And if so, yes. You want it. So do you know what the ratio is? Do you know what the amount you got versus the amount of the total buy-in?
I got 7 years paid, basically.
So here's the thing. Yes, you gave up Jonathan Taylor. And you know what? I was having this conversation with a league mate of mine because he's been very interested in Jonathan Taylor. And I'm like, okay, we can talk about it. It's going to be expensive because Jonathan Taylor is going to be a round one startup pick in startup drafts in February, March, whenever startup season gets going right after the Super Bowl. In some cases, if you're like our graphics guru at the Dynasty Warzone, Maddie, he's already doing startups because he's got the true sickness. And he, you know, he's bringing a lot of people along for the ride. But I will tell you that even in Superflex leagues, I would not be surprised if Jonathan Taylor was not hovering somewhere in that. Even in Superflex, because you got to figure you're going to have in the round one, you're going to have a Mahomes, you're going to have a Watson, you're going to have Kyler, you're going to have Allen. You might have five or six quarterbacks, but I have a feeling that right there around that 110 to 202 range, you're going to have Jonathan Taylor come off the board. And I saw a Twitter poll from my good buddy Izzy Elkafas of the Dynasty Trade Calculator the other day that said, in a startup, Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor? It was 51-49 in favor of Christian McCaffrey. That's the level of dynasty value that he has right now. But circling back to the move you make, none of that matters. As much as no one wants to hear this, in 2 years, Jonathan Taylor will be at the back end of the third round more than likely, and they'll be the next Jonathan Taylor because there's always the next Jonathan Taylor. But what they can't take away from you is they can't take away the championship. They can't take away the glory, and they can't take away that seven buy-ins that's going to keep you flush for the next half decade. Because even if you took the wife to a nice steak dinner, you still have a couple of, you know, five buy-ins left, and you're always on that championship trophy. So no, I have no issue with that move. Now I'm looking at your lineup. Do I still see Marlon Mack on your roster?
Yep, no IR in this league, so I've just held on to him. I've had other people I could drop.
Now, I notice you have a young man, a guy I'm a big fan of. His name is James Robinson.
Yeah.
Did that come from our conversation, or did that come from the war zone? Did we steer you in his direction? How'd you wind up with Robinson?
I to be honest, I had him in almost every league. I'm not exactly sure. If who tipped me off necessarily, but when Fournette, you know, when all the news was for, you know, Fournette, I think was still on the team when I got him, but it wasn't looking like he was gonna get cut, whatever. But yeah, I got him for $4 of fab money, and that certainly, I mean, that was a great, lucky, I'll say, but I mean, it was great. Yeah, he's my most owned player this year, or most rostered player this year, so that was pretty nice.
Yeah, I have him, and now if you had heard about James Robinson from me or the Dynasty Warzone, that's just hand me down James Robinson, because I heard all about James Robinson from good friend of my show, from Steel City Insider, as well as fakepigskin.com, Shane Hallam. You know, Shane's now unfortunately he is an Ohio State Buckeye, but he's an amazing dude. And I really enjoy talking football with him. We have him on the Dynasty Warzone quite a bit. Now, I'm looking over this new roster, which, again, guys, this was the first time I was going to attempt to share pictures of the current roster on the screen. I've got to figure out a different way to do it to make it look better. It's got to be more visually appealing. Ryan here was kind enough to be my guinea pig as my first guest going back on YouTube with the contractor. But I'm looking at this roster. So you have a great quarterback situation. Me personally, and this is just me, this is going to sting, and it may have the number of live viewers drop from the number that it is down to zero, but that's okay. I'm moving on from Tua. Here's the thing. I heard this said by a non-football podcast that I was listening to the other day. But what's the wow that you see with Tua? When you watch Tua play, you know, what makes you say wow? His arm doesn't make you say wow like Josh Allen. His athleticism doesn't make you say wow like Lamar Jackson. You know, I guess he's accurate, but isn't accuracy like the minimum? I mean, that's my thing. I just feel like, would Dynasty GMs be so infatuated with Tua if he went to any other program besides an Alabama or maybe an Oklahoma? You know, if he'd went to TCU or Baylor, would we be as excited about Tua? I'll ask you, because I'm not the world's foremost Tua fan.
No, I'm really not either. I didn't love what, I guess, love what I saw this season. And I mean, honestly, I didn't have Aaron Rodgers when I drafted him. My quarterback room was Jameis Winston, Fitzpatrick, and Allen. So I probably took him more out of need. Actually, I know when I was on the clock at pick three, I direct messaged you and asked you if I should fix my quarterback with Tua or take Jonathan Taylor, because I also had pick five, and you told me to take JT, which I did. And I still ended up getting Tua at five. I wish Tua would have went four, then I would have taken Herbert at five, and that would have been a lot better. But you know, it didn't work out that way. But yeah, I've looked around at maybe seeing who I could. There is one owner in the league who asked about Tua earlier in the year, and he just said that Tua is his guy. So I might pursue a trade with him.
Well, but before I move on to your running backs, because you do have what I would consider some very potential lottery ticket in a good way situations in this running back group. But here's the thing. People are going to say, well, you know, Tua didn't have this and Tua didn't have that. I got news for you. The relief pitcher they kept bringing in, Ryan Fitzmagic, he was doing a lot better job of making chicken salad out of that chicken scratch than Tua was. Now, Tua's a rookie. They've got a lot of draft picks. We don't know how they're going to invest in that offense. But if I was a Tua GM, if he was on my squad, the move with Tua is to let the negative press and the negative Twitter buzz just die down. Let it die down just a little bit. Let's go into free agency. Miami's got some cap room. Let's see who Miami brings in on the offensive side of the ball. Then let's get through that draft class and let's see them add his old college teammate, Devonta Smith, or they add his former rival, Ja'Marr Chase, and let him add a couple of more pieces for him in this offense. Then the news around Tua is at least neutral. It's not thumbs down. Like right now, there's a lot of Memphises out there who are down on Tua, but that's going to give you a much more positive sell window because you don't have any games next week, so there's no point in selling while the news is less than stellar.
Sure. No, I get you there.
All right. Let's check out these running backs. I think I can see all of them on the screen that I'm on. We have Giovanni Bernard, a nice little helpful piece down the back stretch with Joe Mixon missing the last, I think, nine games. That was helpful.
Yeah, it definitely was, especially in the championship because I didn't have James Robinson then. So it's crazy too because I tried to trade Geo to the Mixon owner the whole season and never came through, but I'm really glad it didn't happen because he was pretty useful for me at the end there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be a move I would try to replicate. I would go back because Giovanni Bernard, there's a good chance. I mean, they use Samaje Perine a lot. You know they're going to bring it. I mean, obviously, Mixon's the guy in Cincinnati. But if this gives you a cheap opportunity, even if you get a third, say, hey, dude, is there a cheaper insurance policy for your Mixon than me giving you Geo? Did you learn your lesson? Here's cheap Geo. Take him for a third because the odds of them bringing in a free agent as a backup or bringing in a cheaper option, because Geo is pretty well compensated for a backup running back in the NFL in 2021. So if you can unload him, I would do that. You have Tevin Coleman. But here are the two guys that I'm fascinated with. I will tell you in our Patreon group, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. The players that I've been getting a lot of DM about is Aaron Jones. Now, Aaron Jones has been a top six option at the running back position two seasons in a row. Here's my concern. Green Bay, as we talk right now, I believe is $22 million over the salary cap next year. And you know, which is fine, they'll be able to make some cuts and some tweaks and they'll restructure some deals and they'll get where they need to be. But you know Aaron Jones is going to want Kamara money. He's going to want Mixon money. Now no one's getting Zeke money, but he's going to want a nice chunk of change. Green Bay can't really afford to give him that. But what could Green Bay do? They could keep the cheap second round rookie who just had a great game against Tennessee. Oh, by the way, you have him. You have AJ Dillon. And they could re-sign Jamal Williams much cheaper to kind of be that pass-catching back. If Aaron Jones leaves Green Bay, if he leaves Green Bay and winds up in a Miami, or he winds up in a San Francisco, or he winds up in a Houston, where he winds up in a situation like the New York Jets, you now have two starting running backs. That's the lottery ticket, man. That's the move right there, because instead of, you know, you need an Aaron Jones injury or you need something to get A.J. Dillon on the field. But if Aaron Jones is plying his trade in Miami, boom, that's a big lottery situation for you. And I got one other, Marlon Mack. Now, the success of Jonathan Taylor means that the running back core in Indy is probably going to be Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, and they're not going to want to re-sign Marlon Mack, even though they have cap space. So let's say Marlon Mack gets a cheap, I'll call it a Melvin Gordon-esque two-year deal in, say, again, San Francisco, the New York Jets, Miami. Now you've got three running backs that you still have with Kamara, you still have with Kareem Hunt, and you still have with James Robinson. You still have awesome quarterbacks. How does me breaking that down make you feel about your running back room? And are you going to be looking to make any moves in 2021's offseason with these guys?
Well, I'm always open to making moves, yeah. I feel really good about the room. It's kind of crazy. Before the draft, my quarterback and running back were my weaknesses and wide receiver was my strength, and the team changed so quickly. But I wouldn't be opposed to moving Kamara as well. Just, I mean, he's not super old. I mean, is his value ever going to get any higher than this? I can't imagine. I'd like to trade him soon because I feel like the 6-touchdown game is still fresh in people's minds. But I mean, I'm not going to give him away, obviously, either. If I could get a haul for him, that would be a great move. But it's easier said than done, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like your wide receiver. So, yeah, with the running backs, I would be looking to move. Like, I know I'm going to get killed for this, but that's okay. I'm always looking for value. I'm always looking for value plus. And if I could get maybe a roster from a GM who just saw Alvin Kamara go bananas and finish as the running back one overall in the season. If I could get Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe one of these 2019 or 2020 wide receivers and a first, sold American. There are so many people down on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think it's some sort of a vicious combination of the success that Jonathan Taylor has had in the last 6 weeks. It has a lot to do with the fact that he's been hurt. And I've said this on my podcast, The Dynasty Warzone, but if you go back and look at Andy Reid's running backs, I think we all only remember, because it's Twitter and it's Dynasty and we live in a fishbowl, we only remember what we saw in 2017 in Kareem Hunt's rookie year. Well, Kareem Hunt was forced into action. That year was going to be a split between him and Spencer Ware. And Spencer Ware blew out a knee ligament in the preseason that year. And basically, Kareem Hunt was forced to get a larger workload than normal. Andy Reid, traditionally throughout his career, if you want to use the coaching narrative, and that's why most people drafted CEH anyway, then you would know that Andy Reid really turns over the running back reins to that running back in year two. Now, am I saying that he's going to be the next Brian Westbrook? No, but isn't that what you were hoping for when you drafted him anyway? So if I could get, and this may be a very rare combination to find, but if I could get some combination of CEH and like Terry McLaurin or CEH and CeeDee Lamb for Kamara and maybe a first, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities for a player with his name cachet. That's what I'm looking to do. Nothing against Alvin Kamara. He's special. But we saw the struggles he had when Taysom Hill was the quarterback while Drew Brees was out with the rib injury. We saw the points dip, you know, tremendously. He's you know, had some injury issues of his own last year, not so much this year. And he's going into year five, and he's paid. So for those reasons, man, yeah, if you can get out, like I said, I like how you said it. I'm not giving him away. But I will tell you, if I'm in that class, with the exception of Christian McCaffrey, because he basically had the year off to recharge those batteries, I'm looking to move those guys. Guys, they're going into year five, and it sounds crazy if you're a dynasty GM. We're going into year five with Dalvin Cook, injury concerns. Joe Mixon, now injury concerns. Alvin Kamara, injury concerns. Is that going to impede their performance in 2021? Maybe, maybe not. But this is Dynasty. This is the long game. Remember when we didn't think Todd Gurley's knee issue was a big deal? Until it was a big deal. So if I can get away from those second contract running backs at a cheaper cost, you know, if you want to gamble on Joe Mixon, that's fine. I wouldn't gamble on Joe Mixon with my money. But if you want to, as a Dynasty GM, I couldn't help him. Would you be open to doing that? Is there are there fellow owners or GMs in your league that would entertain picking up Mr. Kamara?
Oh, I think so. I actually sent out one offer earlier. I tried to get Swift and, oh, I can't pick an earlier first, early to mid first, and it was rejected. I figured it would be, but that guy had three firsts, so I was kind of hoping he might counter, but didn't happen. But that was just one offer. Yeah, and this league is kind of half and half. So half the owners are pretty active year round. Half of them kind of go in hibernation throughout the year. This was an orphan last year that I took over. So I don't, you know, nobody I know personally, that one guy I kind of know, but there's, I definitely know which owners are going to be more open to making moves, you know?
Yeah. And so I did post this, by the way. I do talk about the Patreon a lot. It's a large part of what I do as a Dynasty and basically just football in general content provider is our Patreon. But on Christmas Day, I released one of our Patreon shows for free on the Dynasty Warzone. And it's one that I highly recommend that every owner sit down and listen to. It's called the Dynasty Checklist. And one of the biggest things that I recommend everybody do, the number one thing on my Dynasty Checklist is from like week 17. So like when that week starts through about now, Just take a break. Just enjoy football. You know, I know they call soccer the beautiful game, but just enjoy the beautiful game that is American football. You know, this weekend we got three straight games. It's about 10 hours straight of football, and then we're going to double that down on Sunday. You know what? I love the aggressive nature of Dynasty GMs out there making moves and hustling, but take a break. Give your owners a break, but that's your opportunity. That's your showcase game for certain guys, because that's going to be your opportunity. Because to your point, there's some guys in your league that the minute the Super Bowl's over, they're not looking at their dynasty rosters again until maybe free agency. And in some cases, not even until the draft. So you got to strike while the iron's hot. But yeah, man, take a little bit of a break, enjoy the game of football and relax. Let's move to your wide receivers. Oh, and I forgot you have James White. The poor James White. He's just an RB2. You know, here's the thing about guys like James White, T.Y. Hilton at this point in his career, they're worth so much more on your roster to give you that bye week fill in, that injury fill in, than they ever will be in the trade value you can get back to them. So people make fun of those type of guys. I love having a couple of two or three of those guys on my roster. Let's go across your wide receivers that you ended up with. So you have Hollywood Brown, Amari Cooper, T. Higgins, Rashard Higgins. You got all the Higginses. Devontae Parker, Michael Thomas, and Mike Williams. So how are you feeling about this crew? I tell you, you got a little something old, a little something new. How are you feeling? Then I'll tell you what I got.
I don't feel too bad about it. So that trade that I got Thomas in with the Green Bay Aarons is, I gave up Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown. So I lost a lot of good wide receivers in that trade, but, no, I don't feel too bad. I mean, Cooper was on fire to start the year too. And Dak going down certainly hurt his prospects, but, I think he could have another good year next year. I really big fan of T. Higgins, really, really like what I saw from him. And I mean, I have to imagine Thomas bounces back a little bit, no matter, you know, even if Taysom is the quarterback, he had a pretty good run there with Taysom. I don't know if Taysom's actually going to be the quarterback or who it is, but, I feel like he should bounce back. At least I hope so.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The one that I love, you mentioned the name. It's one of the Higginses, the Higgins brothers. T, not Richard. Yeah. Richard was 2 points away from getting me into a championship game. Not his fault. He wasn't supposed to. He was doing his best to make up for the bum that is Kenny Golladay, but that's neither here nor there at this point. I'm not bitter, but I'm bitter. but T. Higgins, I love him. I liked T. Higgins a lot coming in the draft process last year. And, of course, he was good. He had, you know, big school pedigree. He went to Clemson. But the big thing to me is that he and Joe Burrow had already formed a bond. When Joe Burrow was working with Jordan Palmer out in California, you know who was working with him? T. Higgins. And then they wound up getting drafted together. He got that really good high draft capital. I think he was the first pick of the second round. So he was like the closest to being a first rounder that wasn't in 2020's class. I love the kid. More than likely, A.J. Green is gone in Cincinnati. It's going to be him and Tyler Boyd. You know, Mike Brown, this has always been part of my fear, is that Mike Brown is not a good GM slash owner. But maybe they bring in somebody, but I'm not too concerned about that. This is a very pass-heavy offense, and I see T. Higgins just stacking volume on a top buy for me this offseason. DeVante Parker is interesting. I like the talent of DeVante Parker. He had a great second half against Buffalo this past Sunday. I'm just not sure what he and Tua's relationship's going to look like. And then I'm fine with Michael Thomas. If I could get out of Michael Thomas, one of my number one targets, and I always hate giving this away as a content provider, but I got to be honest with the listener. If I could get rid of Michael Thomas and get a CeeDee Lamb, if I could get a Justin Jefferson, I don't know if you can, because Michael Thomas, out of sight, out of mind. He might as well be the other Michael Thomas right now, because he didn't win anybody any championships. And you know, CeeDee Lamb's looked great. He was like 50 or 60 yards short of 1,000, even without Dak. And Justin Jefferson just set a rookie record. But here's a little thing about Mike Thomas. He's going to be 28 years old, a quiet 28 in March. So not a bad time to start, you know, moving him around. You just need positive affirmation, kind of like we talked about Tua. You need a little bit of time to let people be reminded who Mike Thomas is. So all in all, pretty good. And then we're going to talk about your tight end group. You had a guy that, man, he had a couple of flashes here or there, and I thought he was going to surpass Jack Doyle, but he didn't, and that's Trey Burton. He flashed a little bit. Drew Sample, man, it was like, okay, one minute he's just setting the world on fire, and the next minute, you know, he's not doing anything. Irv Smith flashed a little bit. I tell you one thing about Irv Smith that could make his dynasty stock go way up is you're going to continue to hear it. We actually did some shows about this on the Dynasty Warzone this past summer, but a major cap casualty potential is Adam Thielen. One, he's like 30 or 31 years old, and they owe him like $42 million over the next 3 years, and there's not a lot of dead cap money on his deal. I think Kyle Rudolph is all but gone. And if Justin Jefferson is the 1A in Minnesota, Irv Smith Jr. could be the 1B. So you should be excited about him. You think Jonnu would be more involved in that offense in Tennessee? I just remember when Delanie Walker used to set the tight end stat sheet ablaze, and he was always in that tight end 3 to 6 range, it felt like. So definitely some work to do here, but any moves you foresee out of this group?
Oh yeah, I'm not sure. I'm a Vikings fan, so I really like Irv. I'm pretty certain Kyle Rudolph is gone as well. He's very well loved around here, and I mean, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee maybe a couple times, but yeah, like you said, we're up against the cap hard, and he makes quite a bit of money for the production he gives. You know, it's more of a locker room thing, I think, with him. But so I can't see him coming back. So I feel pretty good about Irv. I feel good about Jonnu too. I don't know what to think. You know, like the early in the year, man, he was really good, and then then he just disappears at times, which I, you know, that happens with tight ends, of course. But yeah, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I heard some of their linemen getting hurt. He was in blocking more than he would, not as much passing routes. I haven't really looked at the numbers. I don't know if that's totally accurate or not. So I feel like I could get by with those guys. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to upgrading. It's hard to say. Earlier, you know, preseason, the Waller owner was very motivated to move Waller. And I got to say, probably my biggest miss of the entire season was Waller. I just didn't think, I thought Ruggs, Edwards, they'd eat into his work, and didn't happen at all. And then, you know, once he started balling out, the price went up pretty high. So but he may still be a guy I could acquire with one of those two tight ends plus something. You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Another guy that we skipped over, and I apologize, was Mike Williams. We really started to see a little bit of rapport with Mike Williams and Justin Herbert over the last couple of the games of the season. He had a 7-target game in there. He had a 10-target game in there. Now, I know that Keenan Allen wasn't in there for a couple of those games, but it still showed promise. So I know he's back on his 5th-year option, but this is was my tie-in back to the Jonnu Smith. Also, part of what hurt Jonnu in the middle of the season was the emergence, or the somewhat emergence. He's like the Harry Houdini. He's like the wide receiver ninja. One minute he's here doing damage, the next minute he's gone in a puff of smoke, and that's Corey Davis. The Tennessee Titans did not pick up Corey Davis as option in the offseason. He's going to wind up playing football in another city next year, and that would basically make Jonnu the second option in the passing game behind A.J. Brown. And I think that's being looked on. So I think that you have a couple of – we talked about, you know, Aaron Jones being a potential lottery ticket if him and A.J. Dillon wind up on different teams. Marlon Mack could be a potential I think both of those guys, I think Irv Smith and Jonnu are going to be potential lottery tickets at the tight end position, because that's what everybody needs at the lottery. I mean, at the tight end position is a lottery ticket, because if their name's not Travis Kelce, or their name's not George Kittle, or their name's not Darren Waller, you're hoping to hit the lottery at tight end and get the next one of those guys. TJ Hawkinson. I don't want to forget my boy Hawk. You can get a nice Hawkamania shirt over from our friends at Viridian Global. But what does your pick selections look like? How many picks do you have? I would assume you have the 112, maybe some more or less. Maybe you traded them.
I have the 112 and my 4th, I think. Maybe I don't have my 4th. No, I think my 112 is the only pick I have left. So I would be very much willing to trade that. I mean, it's a nice looking draft too. So if I can't trade it, I don't mind, you know, taking somebody there. But yeah, it's definitely something I have thought about packaging with something else for an upgrade somewhere, maybe, or you know, some kind of package like we talked about. Kamara in a 1st for a couple of the rookies from last year. Love this last year's rookie class, of course. You know, those have floated through my head for sure.
Want to make sure. So we've started doing our draft prep over at the Dynasty Wars, and we've been doing a show on Monday nights live on YouTube, and we've been doing it as a Tuesday podcast. We've been calling it Mock Draft Monday. And the more I'm getting familiar with this class, I will tell you, it's a very talent-rich class, but it's a very top-heavy class. I really feel like in a tight end premium super flex format, which this is, but that top 18 picks are going to be like literal gold mines. And then it's going to be Las Vegas from like 18 on. It's going to be straight gambling. Now, much like real gambling, if you do your homework and put the odds in your favor, you can at least neutralize some of the potential odds against you. But that top 18, man, so even if you got a pick with potentially 6 quarterbacks going in the 1st round, and every mock draft that I've seen, all 6 of the quarterbacks are going no later than pick 43. That's going to put a lot of quarterbacks in there. And guess what? They're taking someone's job. So the guy, if we had Mark Schofield of the Touchdown Wire and Matt Waldman's podcast on with us the other day, and we were talking about potential landing spots for some of these guys. Well, if Who we have? We had Trey Lance. We as potential maybe could land in San Francisco. If he lands in San Francisco, the Jimmy Garoppolo owner now has a load of bricks in his shorts, and he's very nervous. And if you put six quarterbacks in a rookie superflex draft, well, guess what? That's going to push talent down to you, because people are still going to take Najee Harris, and they're still going to take Travis Etienne. They're going to take him in, you know, in a superflex. They're going to take him around picks 2, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that order. Your top six picks in a tight end premium superflex draft are probably going to go quarterback, quarterback, running back, running back, quarterback, quarterback. Something like that, more than likely. So what's in there from 7 to 12? I don't know. Devonta Smith, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, Rondale Moore. I mean, even if you get stuck, for those watching on YouTube or Periscope, they saw the air quotes, stuck with that 112, man, you're going to come away with a player that you really like. But I like your headspace. A move that I would look to potentially make, I love Aaron Rodgers, but you won your championship with him. He did his duty. You give him that old salute. Man, if I could package Aaron Rodgers and like your first for Joe Burrow or the big kahuna and maybe get Justin Herbert, which I don't think you can. But, hey, you know, I'm getting younger. And nothing against Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be 38 years old next year. He could have two, maybe three more good years. But, man, pairing up a Justin Herbert or a Joe Burrow with Josh Allen, because you got your stud top three, top five QB in a startup, to marry him up with another young, up-and-coming quarterback like a Joe Burrow or like a Justin Herbert, I think that would be a stretch. I really do. But that's where my mindset would be. Also, if I could move Aaron Rodgers and potentially move Aaron Rodgers for like Dak plus, you know, I don't know that that's possible. But those are the kind of things. I just Rodgers is excellent, and he's going to continue to play excellent, and he looks great in the Matt LaFleur offense. All we're looking to do is trying to keep as close to Aaron Rodgers' production as possible, while resetting the clock a little bit on this roster, so that instead of having a 2-year asset, you can have a 5-year asset or a 10-year asset. And that's what we're trying to do without doing too much damage to our top line scoring, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's definitely what I'm thinking. Say kind of the same reason I'd like to move Kamara, you know, I mean, he's not super old, but you know, the running backs don't last. So if, I definitely would like to get younger, cause I kind of got older to win this championship. Now that I won it, I would like to get younger for sure.
That's part of it. So let's rank them real quick in the order that we think that you're going to try to move them. The last thing that you want to do is, if you're a poker player, which I was for a long time, the last thing you want to do is tip your hand. The last thing you want to do is tip off to your league mates the moves that you're trying to make. You know, I think there's some subtle moves with maybe you could send some kind of weird package of Tua and Aaron Rodgers for Justin Herbert and a something else. Maybe that owner thinks, oh my God, I'm getting two QBs for one. And you know what? You may have to scuffle for a little bit and hope Ryan Fitzmagic lands some, you know, some 1-year bridge deal somewhere like Washington, which is fine to fill in your QB3. But if you're building this dynasty roster for the next 5 to 10 years around Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, I'm in. Sold American. I'll figure out the rest on along the way. But I think Aaron Rodgers would be the first guy that I look to move, especially if he lights it up in the playoffs. It's only going to reaffirm what the current Aaron Rodgers fans and it's the immediate what's in my forefront. So I would start by moving him. Then, you know, it may take a little while. You may even have to go until camp when the redraft publications start coming out and you start seeing Michael Thomas's name at the top of the list again. You start hearing Michael Thomas's name mentioned with a positive tone by the national fantasy media, like a Matthew Berry or the Fantasy Footballers. You need your league mates to hear positive affirmation around him. And then the final one to move would be Alvin Kamara. That would be the order in which I would start trying to make some of these moves. And just, you know, don't be dishonest, but be like half-ass honest and be like, hey, man, let's talk some football and make some deals while there's still football going on. I know you guys are going to go into your rabbit hole as soon as the Super Bowl confetti hits the ground. So let's talk trades. Let's talk a little shop and see what you can do with these guys. But what other plans do you have this roster before I cut you loose and let you go on about your evening?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said, what other goals do you have with this roster besides maybe trying to go back to back?
Well, yeah, I mean, back to back would be great. I think there is some sort of a bonus if you go back to back, like something set aside in this league. I'm not 100% sure because I came in as an orphan, and the guy who won last year had won the previous year. I could be wrong about that. So if that's the case, that would definitely be nice, a little bonus on top. But yeah, I mean, you know, just kind of what we talked about, getting, you know, trying to get a little bit younger, keeping it going, you know. Yeah, like you said, I wouldn't mind moving Thomas. It would be great. You know, it would be great if, like, I'm not a Saints fan, but if they go and win the Super Bowl and Thomas and Kamara light it up, and then their value is high right now to try and capitalize off of that. You know, who really knows? Or Rodgers, whatever. But yeah, I like to make moves. Sometimes I maybe make more moves than I need to just because it's fun to trade. But I definitely plan on mixing it up here for sure.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you a little best practice. Every time you go to hit the send button on a trade, what am I doing this for? We have a Patreon, and some of you know him. I'm not going to say his name. You will learn this name very soon. But he has been self-admitted the guy, the dynasty GM who does boredom trades. You have to fight that. You have to ask yourself, what is my goal with this trade? If your goal is not, well, I'm trying to reset, you know, the age clock on Aaron Rodgers, or I'm trying to get away from a running back going into his fifth year, or I've got to, you know, get some more draft capital because I've only got one pick. If you can't tell yourself in about three sentences how this benefits your roster, it's probably not the right move to make. And in your case, you just reach out to me, and we'll get you going. But speaking of getting going, we're going to get going, but I want to make sure a couple of things, guys. I am taking new contractor guests. I don't know what my schedule will look like. I want to get as many people on. My goal this year for the contractor is to do one a week, every week, live on YouTube and on podcast, same guest on both. And I'm going to do that from the week after the Super Bowl through about the first week of August. With us bringing on all the stuff we're going to be bringing on at the Dynasty Warzone, I mean, we're going to have two redraft shows a week. We're going to have the Dynasty Warzone on Wednesdays. We're going to have our gambling show on Thursdays. We're going to have our prop betting show on Saturdays. We're going to have a DFS show and then the live show. I just won't be able to do the contractor in season, but it's something I plan on doing through the off season for the foreseeable future. But Ryan, man, I see you're at Dynasty Legs. What's up with that? You got all this sweet merchandise. You have a white on white. You have a white on white Vikings helmet, which I get because I see the Vikings pennant and I see the Stephon Diggs Viking jersey. Explain to me that orange thing over your shoulder.
Oh, that's AJ Green. That would be my first ever dynasty draft pick. I got always going to have a special place in my heart because first guy I ever drafted in dynasty. Yeah, the white Vikings one's Chris Carter. But yeah, I got a little mix. Yeah, I got, man, you know, Pristine Auction advertises on everybody's podcast, and man, when I got in there, boy, did I go crazy for a little bit. There's a lot more that you don't see here. my wife kind of slowed me down there for a little bit once I filled up all the walls. It's fun.
Yeah, wives are good for that. And Pristine Auction does not sponsor every podcast, but if you want to, boys, it's at DWZ Memphis. You can slide in them DMs any damn time. Yeah, I mean, for me, my the two pieces of memorabilia that are on my bucket list, I would like to get a Steve Smith something and nice. a Bo Jackson something.
Oh yeah.
I don't know necessarily a helmet, maybe a jersey. Really anything. Those were two of my all-time favorites, but man, you got a great setup. You're a great guy. Thank you so much for staying in contact with me. Because when you told me you won a championship, in all sincerity, it felt like I won a championship, because I don't know that I had a real hand in making any of the moves, but it made me feel really good that you took the time to reach out to me. I'm glad we're having this conversation. You as the first follow-up. I will let everybody know that next week's follow-up is with Dallas Hyder. We're going to talk about his 2020 season. And I'm going to do three or four of these follow-ups between now and the Super Bowl. And then we'll get into some fresh roster construction. But until next time, guys, my name is Memphis. My guest tonight's name is Ryan. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Dynasty Legs. That's Dynasty L-E-G-Z, because he's fly like that. I'm at D-W-Z Memphis. And remember, the roster, I still don't have that virus. And remember, till next time, the roster you have today is not a death sentence. It's not a life sentence. We can help you fix it. We can rebuild it. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
$1,000 is a cool G, as we call it back home. Are you at liberty to play for that, Stanley? Would you prefer to play for smiles?